Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Our initial information, and that includes all information, we saw no evidence to back up claims by others that this was a pre-planned or premeditated attack. That it was, we saw evidence that it was sparked by the reaction to this video. And that is what we know thus far, based on the evidence, concrete evidence, not supposition, concrete evidence that we have thus far.
Posting something on Facebook is not, in and of itself, evidence. And I think it just underscores how fluid the reporting was at the time and continued for some time to be.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Three emails have been released. They went to the National Security Staff, the Executive Office of the President of the United States. That means they went to President Obama's office. The first one says, the Regional Security Office reports, and this was in real time, folks. This was on September 11th, 4:05 p.m. The Regional Security Office reports the diplomatic mission is under attack. Embassy Tripoli reports approximately 20 armed people fired shots. Explosions have been heard as well. Ambassador Stevens, who is in Benghazi, and four other personnel are in the compound safe haven. The 17th of February, militia is providing security support. By the way, that is a militia of local grocers and barbershops and things like that. Unbelievable. That was our security. Then the Tripoli, then a report comes from Tripoli about 2 hours, about an hour later, saying the firing has stopped. Then about within 2 hours of that, the Tripoli reports the group that has claimed responsibility is Ansar al-Sharia. And, of course, we know that they were at that point no reactions to videos and music and films on YouTube, that this was a premeditated, pre-planned attack by an al-Qaeda-affiliated organization. We know that for a fact. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. John Bolton has made some very powerful statements here about this whole issue. Let me play for you number two.
I tell you one thing I've not understood about the way this played out on September the 11th and the day after is why the entire top levels at the administration weren't on red alert over this. I can't speak for what happens inside the Obama administration, but I tell you, any administration I'd have been in, the president, his top advisors would have been on this immediately, round the clock.
Well, they weren't, unfortunately. It's unbelievable what's happening right now, folks. I mean, it's just incredible. Hey, those of you that are on the phone, stay there. I'm going to grab your calls after the break. If you want to talk to us on air, it's easy to do. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Senator Lindsey Graham was asked by Chris Wallace why the cover-up. Here's what he said, number five.
The reason they do not want to admit it was a al-Qaeda-inspired militia attack that could be seen coming for months, it undercuts the narrative that by killing bin Laden, al-Qaeda's dismantled on the run and the wars are receding. This is exhibit A of a failed foreign policy.
Well, let me tell you this, and this is really unfortunate here. I'm going to play this for you, though. It's number 25, Susan Rice, talking about who was really responsible for all of this. Listen to number 25.
We believe that folks in Benghazi, a small number of people, came to the consulate to replicate the sort of challenge that was posed in Cairo. And then as that unfolded, it seems to have been hijacked, let us say, by some individual clusters of extremists who came with heavier weapons. And it then evolved from there.
Really? I mean, Susan Rice, really? You really believe that? Because let me tell you something. You have cables to the President of the United States, email saying that's not what happened. And they sent you out there. This is much worse than Watergate. I mean, Watergate was nothing. Look at this. Compare these two. What is going on here? And we've got four dead U.S. personnel on September 11th. All right, folks, here's what I want you to do. On everybody that's listening to me right now, go to your phones and sign on to this petition. We're going to stop this funding. We're winning this issue. 1-877-989-2255 is that number. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org to sign on to that petition. And again, it's to stop this funding going to the Muslim Brotherhood, and we're getting great results here. We're winning this. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Once you're at the website, too, sign up for the social media. And also, let me encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that online with your tax-deductible gift. That really helps us out. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Coming up next, Senator Lindsey Graham.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
At a time when America faces serious challenges abroad, there's a new push on Capitol Hill. A call to put the brakes on U.S. funding for Egypt. A request from congressional leaders to place a hold on nearly $500 million to a country where real questions remain about whether Islamic terrorists are at the controls of the new government there. This comes as Congress holds hearings to find the truth behind the security collapse in Libya, where terrorists believed to be al-Qaeda assassinated our ambassador and three other Americans. The fact is, the United States provides billions of dollars each year to countries that are determined to destroy America. It's time to put an end to this revenue stream to the terrorists. Add your name now to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
As we've been talking about the last few days on the broadcast, a very good friend of ours, Senator Lindsey Graham, has been at the forefront of the situation in Libya. He wrote a very strong letter to the President of the United States, which I have read on the broadcast, and we're very fortunate to have Senator Graham with us today. Senator, thanks for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I want an answer to my letter.
Well, we will certainly see. So let me ask you this, because you have really, was watching you all weekend on the talk shows. You did a phenomenal job on this. Let's talk about the situation in Libya and what the White House is up to here. It has a political overtone to it, obviously, and the situation is tragic. We've got an ambassador who's dead and three others that served our country valiantly. What is your sense of what's going on here?
Well, I think the narrative that President Obama tried to create, that by killing bin Laden, al-Qaeda has been dismantled and the wars are receding, was very much in jeopardy if it turned out to be that al-Qaeda-inspired militia are on the comeback in Libya and that they overran our embassy in a very pre-planned, coordinated attack. And that leading from behind hasn't exactly worked in Libya. So they've been deathly afraid of what I think happened. But they should have known for 6 months or longer, Benghazi, Libya deteriorated to the point that the British left, the Red Cross left. We were the only people left in Benghazi, and it became a death trap.
Let me ask you this. And I've talked to you about this before, in addition to your service as a member of Congress, both in the House of Representatives, now in the Senate, you also serve in the United States Air Force as a judge advocate general. And we have a number of JAG officers on our team here at the ACLJ as well, and they are all asking the question why. How did the president not know, and why weren't appropriate security measures taken, especially since it's September 11th? And the president's response about that video initially with having the U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice and then the president himself going to the floor of the U.N. six times saying the video from YouTube. We're trying to get a sense, Senator, what is going on here? Is this politics right now, or what are we dealing with? Because we've got unfortunate real casualties here.
Well, what I think has happened is that they wanted it to be a riot inspired by a video because they're less culpable. Mm-hmm. Within 24 hours, the CIA chief in Benghazi reported up to his command that this was a militia attack. There's a video of the consulate. And released the video. There was never a riot. There was never a mob. It was a pre-planned attack by heavily armed militia. And you could see this coming for months. There's a reason the British left at the end of June. There's a reason the Red Cross got out of Benghazi. And the reason we didn't double down security is because we wanted to normalize relations to give the impression Libya was working out fine. If you closed the consulate, like other people would ask why you're doing that. If you heavily reinforced it, it would be a sign that something's wrong. So Al-Qaeda was on the march in Benghazi. Everyone saw it but us. And I think we saw it. We chose not to act because it destroyed the narrative that these guys are on the wane. So you'll never convince me that the President of the United States was not briefed in April and June about an attack on our consulate. Because, Jay, what would happen if he'd went out in the public and a reporter asked him, Mr. President, what do you think about the consulate attack in Benghazi, Libya? And if he said, I don't know what you're talking about, he'd look like a fool. So it's clear to me that they had to know, and they chose a path of trying to create a narrative that just was factually incorrect.
Let me ask you this. I want to turn our attention in a moment to Iran as well. We've got one last thing on the matter in Benghazi, though, Senator, and that's we had a chance, and you, I know, have seen them too, the cables that have been released, including the cable from our ambassador, asking for help, asking for security. We've got Lieutenant Colonel Wood, who made gave clear testimony before the House of Representatives committee and said we needed more security. We couldn't even keep the little bit of security we had in place. And that you said there, you know, this narrative of trying to normalize relationships. But then it sounds like, Senator, that we've, you know, the president was willing to and the administration was willing to, quote, normalize relationships and make things look normal at the cost of our own national security.
Well, I think that's a fair statement. As we're trying to turn over security to a non-existent Libyan government, everybody else is leaving. We're normalizing. Everybody else is getting the hell out of town. He needs to be held accountable for that. President Obama needs to be held accountable for the fact that the Benghazi consulate security was deteriorating over time for months. Al-Qaeda was known to be coming back in Benghazi. We turned down every security enhancement request because we wanted to normalize. And everybody else that was around Benghazi from the Western world decided to leave. We should have either closed the consulate or massively reinforced it. We chose the worst possible alternative. Leave it open and exposed. And during a seven-hour-plus attack on September 11th, Jay, why could we not help these people? There was no military force in the region that could come to their aid. That, to me, is stunning.
It is. Let me turn our attention to Iran. I just was in a meeting today, actually, with our senior lawyer from our office in Jerusalem. The situation with Iran for the Israelis is very, very serious. They say, of course, they don't have the luxury of not taking it seriously. What's your sense on the current situation with Iran and this potential, these leaks that, you know, there may be this one-on-one negotiation between the United States and Iran, and then the White House kind of walked that back a bit. What do you think we've got here?
The goal of the sanctions is to do what?
Supposed to cripple them economically.
Stop their nuclear program.
Right.
The question is, has their nuclear program stopped? We've been talking to these folks for 4 years. We've been imposing sanctions, and Obama's opposed every sanctions passed, but we finally made him do it by just keep coming back, and he wanted to get waivers, and we said no. The bottom line is their economy's been hit, but they've quadrupled the amount of uranium that can be used to make a bomb. They've doubled the number of centrifuges. So if the goal is to deter them from going nuclear, it is not working. Keep the pressure on, but give them red lines. We should go to Israel and coordinate demands and put demands in place for the Ayatollahs to open up their nuclear program for transparent inspection by the international community or else. If we don't stop their nuclear program, they're going to get a nuclear weapon and all the world is going to go into darkness.
Let me ask you about this. The president mentioned in statements that he wanted to see some light between our relationship between the United States and Israel, that he wanted a little bit of a change of that posture. How dangerous or what do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, look at it this way. The leaks coming out of the Obama White House about Israeli efforts to defend themselves by having to attack Iran's nuclear program, you would believe, listening to the Obama administration, or Israel's the problem, not Iran. When our chairman of the Joint Chiefs says, if the Israelis attack Iran to prevent them from going nuclear, I won't be complicit in it. Now, how are you going to convince the Iranians that we're serious about stopping their nuclear program when we leave Iraq completely naked? The Iranians are filling in the vacuum along with Al-Qaeda in Iraq. When all we do is talk about leaving Afghanistan, when our consulate in Libya was overrun and their only ally left in the world of substance, Syria, that we're doing nothing but watch Assad kill 32,000 of his own people. How do they take us seriously given those scenarios? And if you're Israel, do you really believe Obama has your back?
Yeah, and clearly not. I mean, I do a lot of work over there, and clearly the sentiment among Israeli leadership and governmentally, militarily, is that the United States is not, which is a big concern. Let me turn this aspect of Iran and the situation in Benghazi into the political realm. How big of an issue do you think this is? I know you've been out a lot talking to a lot of people, of course, been reaching the entire country via media. What's your sense of how big of an issue these foreign policy matters are going to play in this election?
I think it's very important because America's war weary, but we're not tired of being safe. And the challenge of our generation, Jay, is to stop radical Islam from acquiring weapons of mass destruction. And that requires partnerships with people in the Mideast that we can live in peace with. And our partners, our friends, are afraid and uncertain. Our enemies are emboldened. Bin Laden may be dead, but Al-Qaeda is very much alive and on the counterattack. So we've been able to prove in the first debate that Obama's taken us down the wrong road economically. I think we can be able to prove that the world he's describing, there's a dangerous disconnect between what he's telling us about the world and the way it exists. If the Obama foreign policy path, economic path, will not lead to prosperity or security.
Senator, let me ask you this. Do you think now that this issue stays front and center, or does the economy come back, or is it all of the above?
I think it's all of the above, because Libya, you had the first ambassador killed in 33 years. It was a deteriorating security environment for months. The consulate became a death trap. 7 hours, we had no military assets on our 9/11 to help these people. It's exhibit A of a foreign policy coming unraveled. Syria, Iraq, Iran are all going in the wrong direction. So I think it's going to be all of the above. Americans really do want to be safe, and they want to be prosperous. And I don't see how in the world, if we continue going down the road, economic road and foreign policy road, that we're going to achieve prosperity or safety. And I think that's beginning to sink in.
Well, our good friend, Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. Senator, thanks for taking the lead on this nationally. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, pal.
Thank you. Well, you heard it from Lindsey Graham, folks. We are at a critical time in the Middle East, and we are also winning a battle to stop $1.2 billion from going to the Islamic-led Muslim Brotherhood government in Egypt. And right now, we are winning that battle with just really 14 days to go to an election. So a lot of things at stake, but we're winning. But this is where you come in. We've got to keep the pressure on Congress to stop this funding, to not allow this $1.2 billion to go to the Islamic Brotherhood-led government, which is the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. You can help. Go to ACLJ.org or call right now at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Have your voice heard. Back with more in a moment.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. At a time when America faces serious challenges abroad, there's a new push on Capitol Hill, a call to put the brakes on U.S. funding for Egypt, a request from congressional leaders to place a hold on nearly $500 million to a country where real questions remain about whether Islamic terrorists are at the controls of the new government there. This comes as Congress holds hearings to find the truth behind the security collapse in Libya, where terrorists believed to be Al-Qaeda assassinated our ambassador and three other Americans. The fact is, the United States provides billions of dollars each year to countries that are determined to destroy America. It's time to put an end to this revenue stream to the terrorists. Add your name now to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
The broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 800-684-3110. A lot of you have been holding for a long time. We're going to get right to the phones. Who do we have next, then?
Don is calling from New York on line 6. Don, you're on the air with Jay.
Hi, Don.
Hi. I'm a retired Marine Corps officer.
Thank you for your service.
You're very welcome, sir. Anyway, you were mentioning some of the sources that are covering this story, but one of the sources is new, what they call the new media. Blogs and so forth, but one of the sources I listen to is Glenn Beck TV and his radio show.
Yep,
he's done a really good job at connecting the dots and putting all this information together.
So is Fox News. They've done a. And I know Glenn Beck's been on. I got an email from him yesterday. They've been staying right on top of it.
Anyway, one of the things he alleges is that the president did in fact make a decision not to send help to our embassy.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, we don't have any confirmation of that, but it just, David said this, I think, maybe even last week. David, you said it seems so bizarre that we had no assets close by, aircraft that it could have gotten there. That's what seems so highly unusual here.
Well, you know, we had assets that could reach the Benghazi. I mean, we absolutely had those assets. They indisputably didn't get there. Now, is it because of a communications breakdown? Is it because the Libyan government denied use of the airspace and we didn't force the issue? Is it because they weren't ready to scramble? I mean, there's a million reasons why it didn't happen.
How can you not be ready to scramble on September 11th?
That's
in Libya.
That's
in the vicinity of Libya, in the Mediterranean.
That's a great question.
I mean, come on. I mean,
there's so much we don't know.
Well, you know, and here's the problem. Let me tell you what they're trying to do. This is a run-the-clock-out strategy, right, Than? I mean, this is run this clock out and see what happens.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think there's any room left, Jay, to dispute, that their story that they put out there was wrong. So I think they're just trying to get through the election before they issue a response. They can dispute what the appropriate response can be, but they can't dispute that they were wrong in their response. And by the way, Jay, Dr. Lamb from the State Department, she did testify that they did not send reinforcements prior to. Maybe on the day of, maybe not, maybe that's a different story. But in advance, they were requested to send reinforcements, and they chose not to send them.
Well, and that's and of course, Lieutenant Colonel Wood testified to that. Back to the phones we go. Our phone lines are open for you, 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Let's go to Jason calling from Texas on line 5. Jason, you're on the air.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, good day, sir. I want to thank you for your hard work. You are a true patriot.
Thanks.
My question is, why is the president being allowed to do this? Not only are we trillions of dollars in debt that I hear, but he wants to give all that money we don't have to our enemies. I mean, it's behavior unbecoming of an American president. I would hope that there would be regulations in place to prevent.
Well, there's not regulations in place. It's called elections. I mean, and, you know, everybody's. So this is what elections are about. And you make sure you vote for that. I'm not going to tell you to vote for. Vote for the candidate that meets your worldview. But that's why you vote. This isn't what's critical here. That's why you engage the electoral process. And that's why this election is going to be so significant. And I am telling you, the White House wants to run this clock out. Now, let me play Charles Krautheimer, who I am a huge fan of from Fox Special Report. We've had him down at our campus at Regent University before. Number 11.
When you say there is no evidence, you're telling a falsehood. If you had just said the weight of the evidence or we think X, it's the video, that's one thing. But when you say there's no evidence that it was a premeditated attack, and you have all the evidence that we see in the emails, the claim, the fact that the station chief is saying it's a premeditated attack, you've got all this evidence. That's simply not so.
So there you have it. I mean, that's the reality of what we're dealing with and the reality of the evidence as we've discussed it. The question will be, David, what this means, not only in the ballot box, but I guess really in the ballot box. Does this issue stay alive for what now, 12 more, 11 more days? That's going to be the question.
Well, there's a certain number of voters who are really just now tuning in.
Yeah.
And what they're seeing when they just now tune in is an administration with three big failures. They failed to provide adequate security, they failed to reinforce when Americans were in need, and they failed to tell the truth after the fact. And that is a terrible way to lead into an election.
Well, I think what it shows, again, we don't tell you who to vote for here, folks. It shows leadership style and leadership approach. And that's really what you're dealing with. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 800-684-3110. Jay Carney, the president's press secretary, he said there was no evidence. Listen to number 15.
Our initial information, and that includes all information, we saw no evidence to back up claims by others that this was a pre-planned or premeditated attack. that it was, we saw evidence that it was sparked by the reaction to this video. And that is what we know thus far, based on the evidence, concrete evidence, not supposition, concrete evidence that we have thus far.
Well, Mr. Carney, how about this concrete evidence memo, email sent Tuesday, September 11, 2012, 4:05 p.m. The regional security officer reports the diplomatic mission is under attack. Embassy Tripoli reports approximately 20 armed people fired shots. Explosions have been heard as well. Ambassador Stevens, who is currently in Benghazi, and four COM personnel are in the compound safe haven. Then, a couple hours later, the Embassy Tripoli reports the firing at the U.S. diplomatic mission in Benghazi has stopped and the compound has been cleared. A response team is now on site. Then, an hour after that, Embassy Tripoli reports that the group that claimed responsibility on Facebook and Twitter has called for an attack on the embassy in Tripoli as well. That group, Ansar al-Sharia, and they are the ones that engage in these kind of activities. So you listen to those statements, folks. I'm a trial lawyer. Pretty bad evidence against the White House. Pretty bad evidence against the White House. And then the president's righteous indignation at the debate number two. Listen to number 28.
The suggestion that anybody in my team.
Anybody in his team. We're going to go point by point here. The suggestion that anybody in his team. Now let's see who.
Whether the Secretary of State, our UN ambassador, anybody on my team would play politics or mislead.
No, let me tell you what's offensive. What's offensive is blaming this on a YouTube video and not blaming it on a terrorist group that we know that was involved in it. And you knew it too. And you went on David Letterman to discuss it. And then, of course, you know, on and on the list could go. Lack of governing leadership principles. We need to go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Let's try to go through as many as we can, Than.
David from Colorado's on line two. David, you're on the air.
Hi, David.
Hey, Jay, I'm wondering, you know, we've got all this foreign aid going being paid out.
Yep.
Why are we paying it to anybody? Why don't we cut off foreign aid to everybody, including the dictatorship in Bahrain, which we are actively supporting, and, you know, the numerous other regimes that are also getting our funding?
This is a different situation because, for instance, with Pakistan, we have relationships with them, although it's strained at best. And the president talks about how relationships are better, but they're strained. But this is a direct aid going to the Muslim Brotherhood-led government. These aren't allies anymore. I mean, we have these treaties with Egypt, but I think they're pretty much meaningless. David, your thoughts?
Well, there's a big difference between helping Israel do things like create a missile defense system to protect school children on their way to and from school from Palestinian terrorism and paying the Muslim Brotherhood $1.2 billion to buy German submarines that could be used to attack Israel. Those are two completely different things, and we as an American people have to recognize a difference between good aid to allies and foolish aid to enemies.
Yeah, I think that's right. Than, what's going to happen here? What do you think is going to be the end result?
Well, they're going to keep the pressure on. I hope that this funding doesn't go out the door before the elections, Jay, because then at least the new president or the president who's reelected can reassess this. But David's right. Funding can only go to allies. And the second point here, Jay, even allies have conditions on this funding. Remember, this is the administration that waived those conditions for Egypt. They didn't say Egypt had met them. They said they waived them. They no longer applied.
Unbelievable. All right, folks, we're out of time. Again, if you've not yet signed on to this petition, let me encourage you to do so to stop this funding going to groups like the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, your taxpayer dollars. You can go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Let me also encourage you to visit the website of the ACLJ. We've got a lot of resources there. I know David French has got some articles up on this issue involving Libya. Matt Clark does as well. A lot of good information out there. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to that petition.
The fact is the United States provides billions of dollars each year to countries that are determined to destroy America. It's time to put an end to this revenue stream to the terrorists. Add your name now to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.org.